재미와 지식의 오디오 라이프 팝빵
Bringing you stimulating discussions on current affairs. Discover the best of news and current affairs. Primetime on TBS EFM.
There are reports that radiation levels inside the damaged reactor at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant have hit a record high. It poses what people feel a serious challenge as officials prepare to dismantle the facility. And according to Tokyo Electric Power, or TEPCO, the atmospheric readings as high as 530 sieverts an hour, this is a figure described by experts as unimaginable, have been recorded inside the containment vessel of reactor number 2, which is one of the three reactors that experienced the meltdown when the plant was crippled by a 42-foot tsunami that struck the northeast coast of Japan back in March 2011. So to give us more analysis on the radiation readings, very pleased to have joining us from Seoul National University, Nuclear Energy System Engineering Professor Takuchi Oda. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us, Professor. First, could you tell us why radiation levels inside the reactor at Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Station are at their highest level since this meltdown almost 6 years ago?
Okay, so first of all, let me shortly explain the relationship between path time and radiation level. So basically, the radiation level itself have been decreasing since the accident. So, for example, after 1 year, it was around 1/10 of the initial radiation level and will be around 1/100 after 10 years. So this is because the radiation is caused by collapse of unstable atoms. So as time passes, the number of remained unstable atoms decreases, and then the radiation level decreases. But as you mentioned, the largest radiation level, which is 530 sieverts per hour, was detected in the second unit of Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. So this is because the radiation levels of only several locations inside the reactor have been so far measured. So if we had measured the same place that, you know, we detected 530 sieverts per hour 6 years ago, we would have detected around a few 10 times larger radiation levels than 530. So the radiation level inside the reactor is very much different from location to location. Mm. So this is why, so we just found some new place where it's highly contaminated. It's not kind of increasing trend of right. You know, damage inside the reactor.
When we talk about 530 sieverts per hour as mm-hmm. been reported, could you explain that recent reading in terms of what it means? What is a sievert and how harmful exposure to 500 sieverts of radiation is?
Yeah, 500 sieverts is really, really harmful. So, for example, people can die just by 10 sieverts. Mm. So it means like if you stood there for 1 minute, maybe you will die within few weeks. So it's such a really, really high radiation level.
In terms of the concerns the media has been reporting, do you think South Korea should be on alert for any upward trend of radiation levels at the Fukushima plant?
No, basically no. So as you mentioned, such a high radiation level is not due to increasing trend of radioactive levels, but due to measuring a new location inside the reactor that has not been measured yet. And the radiation level is of inside the reactor, not outside. So now many structures for shielding and covering such kind of reactor were installed around the damaged reactor, and it is almost no chance for radioactive materials are largely released from the reactor. Mm. So if this finding was outside reactor, maybe we should be on alert. But if it's inside the reactor, it's covered. So it's basically, we don't need to be so on alert.
Now, the dismantling of the Fukushima plant is scheduled to start in 2021. People say it could take nearly 50 years, half a century. Do you think the radiation levels that are recorded would complicate plans to dismantle the facility?
Yeah, I think it's highly possible. But if we look at the plan of the Tokyo Electric Power Company, they plan to check the status of meltdown fuels. So we call them fuel debris, and design some devices or techniques to remove them from the reactor by 2020. So from now, maybe in 3 or 4 years, the TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Utility Power Company, will try to understand the status inside the reactor. And then after that, they will start to remove such kind of meltdown fuel. So I think this kind of finding of high radiation level is kind of, you know, a possible expectation of the company, probably. So it is actually a difficult task, but I think it's not so much, you know, an unexpected thing.
Not a big surprise then. Overall, how much time and cost is incurred to try and clean up Fukushima once and for all? Do you think the entire cleanup is still a distant goal?
Yeah, it's a really distant goal. So entire cleanup is probably will be done in 2050 or maybe 50s in 2050. And the government and the Tokyo Electric Power Company originally estimated the cost to be around 10 trillion Japanese yen. It's almost 100 trillion Korean won. But this one was original estimate, and recently, last year, the government decided that will be doubled. So it means it's around 20 trillion Japanese yen and 200 trillion Korean won. So we have to pay. Actually, the company, Tokyo Electric Power Company, will pay for such kind of cost. And basically, cost is composed of three parts. The first one is penalty payment. For example, for people who needed to be evacuated, or to fishermen, to farmers, and so on. And the second one is the contamination cost of the land of Fukushima Prefecture. And the third one is the commissioning cost, dismantling cost of the nuclear reactors. And the dismantling cost may be increased more, so we have some uncertainty in dismantling cost. But about penalty payment and the commissioning cost, it's almost paid. Around 80% of them. So probably the cost is around 20 trillion Japanese yen around.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, these are just estimates, and those cost estimates could change as the situation, if we're talking about a timeline all the way up through 2050, 2060, very difficult to predict the future there. I often mention this here on the program, but Primetime as a program launched as a new show right at March 2011. And right away, the first story that came out on our first day on air was the huge earthquake and then the tsunami that occurred. It's amazing that it's already been almost 6 years since the nuclear disaster. In your view, the efforts of the Japanese government in terms of what they've been trying to do to decontaminate the areas around Fukushima, do you think enough efforts have been made?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, the decontamination efforts are very low-tech efforts, like removal of surface of soils or some cleaning up of roofs by wiping or cleaning of roads by using high-pressure water jets. And if you look at such kind of low-tech, you know, efforts, you may think it's not enough. But actually, for radioactive materials, what we can do is just only such things. So we have to just gather contaminated, you know, soils and stuff, and then put away from places where people live. And the government actually appropriately done that thing. And still, they are doing very big efforts for that.
This is one of those perfect storm type of disasters. It's hard to predict, of course, an earthquake of that magnitude so close to Japan, although it is an earthquake prone region. And then the ensuing tsunami and, of course, the damage that it caused to the Fukushima nuclear power plant. In your view, this is, I suppose, as a final thought, what measures do you think should or can be taken by the government authorities in Japan to hopefully avoid a disaster similar to Fukushima from occurring again in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, an important point is that not only Fukushima accident, but also the other two big accidents like Chernobyl and the Three Mile Island, accident itself is not so difficult one. It's actually avoidable technically. So for example, in the case of Fukushima accident, the one of the biggest difficulties during the accident was that the electrical circuit was damaged by water. So if we had, you know, waterproof door or something, maybe the damage can be, you know, mitigated or prevented. So, but we didn't install such kind of things before the accident. So that part is the kind of our problem. And after the Fukushima accident, for example, in Japan, the waterproof door was installed and also some walls to prevent or mitigate tsunami was installed. But I think most important point is to maybe we need to change the mindset of, you know, nuclear experts, technology experts. So we should act, you know, more proactively, and then, you know, we should be open more to some expert outside our, you know, community. But, you know, nuclear community is called the nuclear mafia, something like that. It's kind of inward-looking, you know, community now. So we have to open our community. So for that, I think government should support our, for example, department to educate students, including some social scientific, you know, some lectures. So maybe some educational effort is maybe needed, and it can be, you know, supported by government, I think.
Right. As we all live here in South Korea, we can imagine sometimes the media does have more of alarmist type of reporting in terms of how they're covering the events in Fukushima. And it is important to, of course, acknowledge the fears, but also get the firm scientific reasoning and an analysis on what exactly is going on. And Professor Oda, we thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your insights today.
Yeah, thank you very much.